Welcome to Arrow's Angle podcast, a place for real talk about all things pregnancy, birth, and postpartum. We'll talk tricks and tips, interview the experts, and hear from you to help you prepare for your birth or navigate the tender postpartum time. Arrow's Angle is brought to you by Arrow Birth, a place for expecting and growing families to move from information overload and overwhelm to knowledge and success through our unique combination of documentary-style childbirth education and one-on-one solution-oriented consultations. Making an impact is a priority for Arrow Birth, so every purchase with Arrow makes birth safer through our partner Midwives for Haiti and our Improved Birth Project. Check out more on our website, arrowbirth.com. Let's get the podcast started with your hosts and Arrow Birth consultants, Tara Campbell-Lussier and Mary Stutzman-Smith.
Tara here, guys. Hello, and welcome to Arrow's Angle podcast.
Hey, Mary here.
Today, we're going to be talking to you guys about talking to your provider, so that could be either your midwife or your OB, about your birth goals. So a lot of times when people are talking about birth goals, they use the word birth plan, but Arrow has decided not to use the phrase birth plan, and we use something...
Because nothing is a plan. Nothing goes to plan.
Nothing goes to plan is the main reason why.
Yes.
But we use something that we have, we call optimal birth goals, hashtag OBGs. So Mary, tell them a little bit about OBGs.
Well, first off, anytime you say OBGs, you know you gotta say, yeah, you know me.
Yeah, you know me. I love it.
Yeah, it's good. So optimal birth goals. So really what we're saying is that, you know, nothing goes to plan, and a goal is a thing that you have that is your aim, and so we'll talk about it in terms of pregnancy, the birth, and your postpartum. It's what you're striving for, and of course, it also allows for flexibility to make decisions in the moment that you need to make. So,
and I love the word optimal, because you're just basically saying, like, in an optimal situation, this is what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
And we all know that birth, or maybe we don't all know, but as birth workers, we know that birth is very circumstantial. And sometimes things are optimal, and that's awesome. And then sometimes they're not so optimal. And so we have to reevaluate as appropriate and given the situation. So get rid of the phrase birth plan in your head if you can. Think about optimal birth goals. And then today, like we said, we're going to talk to you about how to actually take those optimal birth goals and have a discussion with your provider.
Yeah. And a lot of people feel, I think, it's been my experience when talking with people, that in pregnancy, sometimes it can be a challenge, not necessarily knowing how to bring up topics. Or I know I felt with my first pregnancy, like, I almost felt like I was doing something wrong. Like, hey, I wanted to talk to you about my birth plan. You know, at that point, that's how I approached it. And I just felt awkward. And I didn't know that, you know, really the framework of that, you know, this is really, you are in charge of your care, and your provider is making decisions and talking with you in, you are collaborating with them, but ultimately you are consenting
to things.
You're the
consumer.
Yeah. Consenting to things that are done to you and your baby during your birth. And I think that's an important perspective to take. But I do know a lot of people feel that they don't know how to approach their provider, and that's what this podcast is for.
Absolutely. And I'm going to expand on that a little bit, because a lot of people, especially if this is their first baby, they don't even really know what their options are to put on an optimal goal sheet.
Yeah.
Right? So it's doing some of the research to figure out, hey, yes, this is something that I would want on my OBG. And then from there, who do I talk to? Do I talk to my one doctor that tells me that he or she is going to be there? Which also brings up another question of, like, you know, talking to different providers throughout the pregnancy that could potentially be at the birth.
So let's first approach it as to let's talk about what a good provider looks like,
right?
And what the optimal scenario should be when you are coming into your prenatal appointment wanting to talk about how the birth will go.
Yeah, absolutely. So an optimal provider, or a provider that is a provider that takes time to listen to what your questions, thoughts, and concerns are. They're going to be meeting you wherever you are, as far as, I'm concerned about this, or do I need to get this testing for my baby or my pregnancy? And they're not going to make you feel rushed. That's actually, like, you hear that commonly, that, like, they came in the door, they were in and out in 60 to 90 seconds, and I didn't feel like I had the opportunity to ask the questions that have been on my mind. And especially in the beginning, that can be really difficult on a mother or a family, because the prenatal visits are so spread out in the very beginning. So you've got all these things kicking around in your head for 4 weeks, and then you go in and then you may or may not get the time that you need to answer those check boxes that are going on in your head.
Yeah, so I think the first thing is expect a good provider to not be rushed and to be open when you say, hey, I want to talk to you a little bit about my birth goals.
Absolutely, and supportive of that, like not brushing you off.
Yeah.
You know, if they say, like, let's talk about that later, or, you know, you're only 16 weeks, we'll deal with that at 36 weeks, like, that's not really the greatest, most supportive provider.
Yeah, and that leads me to what we call red flags. So, you know, things where a provider maybe would not be a great provider would be, like you said, someone that's really rushed, or someone that I often say that someone that says, just trust me, you know, I'm the expert here, you know, you don't know, in the sense I'm the one that makes the decisions. I think those are some, you know, big red flags that is how that provider views the birth and views the, you know, them as being the ones making choices. And that this is a shift that needs to happen in healthcare in general too. I think we want to talk about that just overall, whether it's birth, whether it's, you know, other issues going on with someone's health, is that, you know, decisions, collaborative care, decisions, you know, having autonomy over the choices that you make. These are all really kind of buzz topics, I think, among healthcare right now. So, you know, be on the forefront, be prepared for, you know, the conversations for you to have a good idea of, you know, whether you're getting support or are you seeing some other red flags? What would you consider any other red flags? I always feel like the hand on the door, you know, when you're they're like, the hand is on the doorknob, like, okay, any other questions? They ask that as they're literally walking out the room. You know, like,
yeah,
that's
the body,
a red flag.
The body language. The body language is very telling. Some red flags I see is really kind of what we just covered, which is just brushing them off until later in the pregnancy. That's usually a red flag with a lot of my clients, because people put that trust in the provider, and then once they get to this, like, impending birth, then, you know, it's so imminent, and there's lots of hormones and emotions, and then the not the truth, but the policies and how that person actually really practices comes out. So I really think it's important to talk about it, not at the end, but, or whatever it is, you know, but throughout the pregnancy. So that brings us to a couple that Arrow thinks are, like, important questions to get answers to. And we really have, like, the three biggest ones, which would be asking your provider what their induction protocol is. So if you want to expand on that.
Huge one. Mary. Like, this should be the biggest one. Mm-hmm. You know, we will, you know, everybody delivers at a different time. You know, there is an average time for you to, what's normal, 38 to 42. And so this question.
And some say 37 to 42.
So this question may really affect you if your provider feels at 40 weeks that the pregnancy should be done, or if your provider is supportive of if everything is medically great, to kind of extend to 42 or 41. So just knowing what their tendency is, what their, if they've got
or even
protocol.
If it's a practice policy. You know, there's some hard and fast rules of, like, this is my practice policy. We do not budge on that for anyone. And, you know, I'm just arbitrarily picking a date here, but 41 and 3, we induce you. And and then what does that mean? Does that mean automatic, you know, Pitocin? Does that mean a Foley bowl? I mean, there's lots of things that we can expand on that later, but just being mindful and asking the question of, like, what your provider's induction protocol and or policy is very helpful earlier in the pregnancy.
Yeah, and then you'll know. And then you can decide if that, if you're comfortable with that, or if that's something you're not so comfortable with and want to look elsewhere. The other one I think is really a good one is if your water breaks at home, what did that policy look like for that practice? And a lot of that will be determined upon if you are GBS positive or GBS negative. And so you would, you know, want to ask your provider about that. Do they want you to stay at home? Do they want you to come in after a couple hours? And just so that you have an idea of, if that scenario happens to you, what your provider would like you to do.
Yeah, and they usually have, again, similar to the induction, a hard and fast policy and or protocol that they do for everybody. That may change, as Mary said, a little bit if you're GBS negative or GBS positive, which we can get into in another podcast. But that's a big question to ask them, because that can really change, your optimal birth goals and ultimately the, you know, the outcome of how your birth looks, because
there's a lot of variation around among providers. That's kind of why I recommend that to be a question, because you'll find that some people want you, if you rupture at home, they want you to come right in and start, you know, if you don't have really consistent contractions, start Pitocin within a couple hours. And then others say, hey, you know what? Hang out. If you're GBS negative, hang out for 24 hours at home. And so you'll have an idea of what it looks like for your provider.
And where they are kind of on that spectrum as far as conservative or not. So the third one that we think is really important that we want you talking to your providers about is, are they going to be there? This is a big one. And we've seen over the years that you know, I'm going to say Dr. Johnson says, oh, yeah, you know, I've been with you forever. I'm your gynecologist. I'm going to be there. I'll be your obstetrician. I'll be there for the birth. And a lot of families just assume that that particular person that they've put their emotion and time into is going to be available for their birth. So that can look like asking them what their like weekend and night, nighttime and weekend policy is. Do they have a backup practice that you know, catches babies for them during that time? Are they on call 24 hours a day? Do they have any out-of-town dates around your estimated due range? So those are really important questions, especially if you have some sort of emotional connection to one of the providers in the practice.
Yep, absolutely. And some practices are really large, and so you may see one primary person throughout the pregnancy and then take whoever's on call. And then others you've worked with, you know, maybe one or two in the practice and you get to know them. But even it's been our experience that even the small practices don't carry call the whole time. They will work with another practice to be backup for them. So even though it's a small practice and you get great, you know, care through the pregnancy, what does it look like for the birth? What's the chance that you're going to get that provider for the birth? And that's really something to consider as well when you talk to your provider.
And for some people, that's not as big of a deal for them. Like they don't have that emotional connection or that desire to have that particular provider at their birth, and that's fine. But I think having that conversation and it being really clear about that, it can be really helpful for people, because I have definitely seen people be like, what's that movie, Mary? Is it Knocked Up? Where she's like, what? My doctor's out of town, you know? And it's just like this super big, you know, not good thing that she's, you know,
wasn't
panicking
expecting.
And totally wasn't expecting. So we don't want to have that on game day. So that kind of segues right into the next thing that we'd like to talk to you guys about, which is assuming like that there are more than one provider in your practice, should you come up with these optimal birth goals that you're looking for, talking to all of the different providers? So tell us how that looks in actuality, Mary.
Yeah. So what we usually recommend is it's a good time, second trimester, or really any time is a good time to come up with the optimal birth goals. But second trimester is great in the sense that you will have a little bit of time. If you've got a practice that has multiple doctors, most likely they'll rotate you through the different doctors so you have experiences with them prenatally. And so you'll be repeating this conversation multiple times.
That's the key phrase, is you feel like you're a bit like a broken record, because every time you go, you're having this same conversation with a different
person. Doctor. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so you or want, midwife, you're like any provider, yeah.
Yep. And so you'll want to take, you know, a copy of your birth goals, have them put it in your chart, and just, you know, go over it with each new provider that you see or each provider that potentially could be at your birth.
Absolutely. Yeah. And when you're speaking to these providers, it's important to remember, as we were saying at the beginning of the podcast, that you are a consumer. You ultimately have a choice in where you are getting your care from. And so in that choice, it's important to remember that you're not really asking permission of them. And that comes that can be really powerful when you phrase what you're looking for. And so instead of saying like, can I take my pregnancy to 41 in 4 days? It's more like, I'm thinking about allowing my baby and my body to go into labor whenever they're ready, and I'd like the freedom to go to 42 weeks, and how will you support me in that process?
Yeah, that is huge. That's huge. Or, hey, can I get on my back for delivery? Versus, if I'm the most comfortable in hands and knees position, can you catch my baby in that position? So it puts that power again as you being the one, you know, making choices and helping. And again, here's your red flags. If you see them, if the response is, you know, you want me to be, you know, there catching the baby the way I've been trained, and
they'd be saying, some of them say, deliver the baby.
Deliver. Yes, yeah. I will deliver your baby. It's like, wait a minute, I'm actually delivering the baby.
I'm working very hard to deliver this baby, but you may catch my baby.
Yes. And so, you know, it's important the way that we approach this. And it's, you know, I think another really great thing is for everybody to take a look at your place of birth. If you're birthing, you know, at a birth center or at a hospital, which, you know, most people are, they usually will have a patient's bill of rights. And I think that's a really powerful thing to review before you go into your birth, because after reading that, you will clearly see that everybody is on board with you being in charge and you being, you know, consenting and having this autonomous right to make choices about your care. And it doesn't always come out that way, you know, without, you know, just in your interactions, let's say, with your provider. So I think, you know, big topics, it's a big shift in the way that we're asking you to think, but really important and helpful things that can give you the power to really, you know, get the answers that you're looking for or seek care elsewhere. If you're not comfortable.
Yeah. So wording really matters when you're communicating with your provider, and just remembering that you are the consumer, just to kind of summarize that up, because you could take your care and business elsewhere.
Yeah.
Ultimately.
Yeah. And we can help you walk through that. So Arrow has a specific consulting sessions for the OBGs. And so we will talk about all things, you know, let's say cord clamping, let's say freedom of movement. Let's talk about intermittent monitoring, all of these kind of hot.
Medicated birth, epidural versus, you know, a planned cesarean birth. There are so many different options, and they can definitely feel daunting and overwhelming. So
yeah. We can help you through that process and help you formulate what that looks like, and then give you the tools to be able to reach out to your provider.
And create your optimal birth goals sheet. And then ultimately you will be able to communicate that with your provider, especially after listening to this podcast today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, check us out on arrowbirth.com. Click on the birth consulting tab, take a look around, and reach out if you've got any questions.
Yes. Have a great day, guys. Thanks for listening.